This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Welcome back, Mark.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you. We missed you.
I missed you guys.
Aww. Oh. We missed you, too.
Apparently you did, because you actually called in to talk to us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, I couldn't be bothered, even though it was 9 o'clock back in Raleigh.
Couldn't be bothered. Okay.
Quite frankly, I don't blame you.
Let's see. What do we have going on this weekend? Classes.
Well, wait a second. What? Wait a second. We haven't talked weather. We haven't talked moon.
Oh, we haven't talked.
Quick, good morning.
We did. Yeah. It was
the fog lifted before I drove in this morning, which was nice.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad out where.
It was a little fog in Poway.
On inventory day on Wednesday, driving in, I stopped and picked up donuts at Donut Touch, mm-hmm. going across Scripps Poway Parkway. It was awful.
Oh, really?
I had to slow down. It was terrible. I couldn't believe it. Yes, but that's much better today. And we're supposed to have a good temperate weekend and maybe a little bit of...
I heard there might be a little precipitation.
Yes, a little bit on Monday, but not much. Nothing to speak of. Probably not anything to count as a water, but it'll delay the need for water from plants.
That is correct.
There we go.
You know what I found delays the need for water?
Killing off your plants?
No, a sprinkler stuck open.
Yes, it
That'll
does.
That'll do it too, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I almost had another swimming pool in my backyard.
Well, it's good that it was the sprinkler stuck open and not you turning it on and then just forgetting to turn it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that before,
that game too.
Yeah. But yeah, we were, when was it? It was Thursday. We came home. We went to the track on Thursday. So we came home, got changed, and I saw the sprinkler was on the lawn in the backyard. And I thought, well, that's kind of a weird time for the sprinkler to be on. But I didn't think anything about it. Because I couldn't remember what time it was set to go off. So we went to the track, and we went out to dinner. And I came home. The sprinkler's still on. Yeah. And the water was pouring out of the drain into the gutter. So
that is what you do when we have that atmospheric river week and a half ago filling up the reservoirs to the north. So you're trying to alleviate the stress on those burgeoning reservoirs.
Trying to put some relief on the Oroville Dam. Yeah, that's what I was. What I was doing.
It ended up 30 feet up.
That's
after
just
that
insane.
Rain.
That really
that's a significant nuts. Amount in no time.
It's hundreds of thousands of acre feet of water,
and I don't even know. I can't even visualize that.
Well, an acre foot is 43,586 cubic feet of water. Wow. It's you take 1 acre and put a foot of water on it.
Wow.
That's an acre foot of water.
Which is what you were trying to do
in your backyard.
Which is what I was.
And did you have a half acre foot? What did you get?
Something like that. And I think a cubic foot of water is 6.7 gallons. Something like that. So
holy cow,
it's a lot of water.
It's a ton of water.
It's more than a ton.
Well,
I mean,
I can't say the unit of measure that I would normally use.
but correct.
But suffice it to say, it's a large amount.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, now you can go.
Now we can go on.
Yes, sir.
Okay. In San Diego today, we have fall bed prep with Jim. Is teaching that.
Oh, okay. Very good.
And at 9:30 in Poway, it's all about composting with Tyler Trimble from Backyard Trees? Is that?
Yeah.
And his class is going to be all types of composting, not just, you know, a hot bin or something. So including worm composting and such.
Isn't Tyler's gig backyard fruit? San Diego?
It is backyard fruit.
Okay. Backyard fruit. Okay. Classes in San Diego start at 9 o'clock. Get there early to get a seat and a parking space. And in Poway, we have plenty of parking, but you might want to get there early to get a good seat. Tyler's classes are usually pretty popular.
And speaking of San Diego, do you know what I have in my car to take to San Diego after the radio show this morning?
I have to sit back and be quiet on this one.
Because you know the answer, but it might be helpful because I don't think, know the answer.
Well, I do now, you told me this morning.
The fold-out, was it the bird guide wanted or the butterfly guide?
I think he wanted the butterfly one.
Okay. I have the laminated fold-out guides. They're in Poway now, and they will be in Point San Loma
later today. They came in yesterday.
Don't you mean they're in your car?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
With all kinds of notes to make sure that he gets them there.
Yeah. Look at this handy dandy addition to my
keychain.
That
works very well.
Yes, it does.
I have done that.
Because George did everything I needed to have happen, and then I put my keys on top of the box, but he thought I would just pick up my keys and walk out and leave the box, which is
probably what would have happened.
Unfortunately. Yes. But so he put a tag on my keychain that I can't miss. It's kind of like the piece of wood that is attached to bathroom keys at gas stations.
Yeah. Or like the remove before flight tags that we put on airplane.
All of those
make
things.
Sure that you knew to take that box.
Now I do have one question for you about that. Is there transfer paperwork in there? Did you do that part of the?
There's both pieces. There is, in fact, a transfer piece of paper inside there.
Thank you very much. All right. I didn't mean to bore you, Mr. Anderson.
No. You know when that doesn't work? It's when you don't have to put your key in the ignition.
Yeah, we'll see. God. Fortunately,
fortunately,
I still have
problem.
A car.
Yeah.
That's a first world problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Also tonight, daylight savings time goes away.
We get an extra hour.
Get an extra hour of sleep. And are they ever going to stop that?
Senator Rubio last week, or when we were talking about it, he is proposing that we get rid of it.
Well, we voted.
Yes.
We voted to do that, in California. Yep. But then it still takes an act by the legislature to actually do it, I think.
Well, they're working on much more important things than.
And then the other question was, do you get rid of daylight savings time, or do you make daylight savings time the new standard time?
That's why it hasn't been completed yet. That's a big question.
I'm indifferent as long as it stays one or the other. It really doesn't bother me either way.
You know, Arizona seems to survive every year.
And most of the world now. So.
I'm trying to decide which way I want to go here, whether I care or not. I do hate. I don't hate. I know, I'm sorry, Mom.
I dislike
greatly having the body clock changed twice
a
year.
And that's where I think there's some utility in having it remain stable regardless of which way we go.
It is so obvious to my life and my sleeping habits that when the clock changes, it messes everything up for weeks. My sleeping patterns are changed.
Well, in the springtime, it screws me up, but in the fall, it's
okay.
I can't figure out how
to change my clock.
that's the beauty of most clocks now and our phones taken care of.
But
for
in my car, it's like,
you only have to live with it for 6 months, Mark. Just let it go.
Yeah. I've got
trust me, I have.
I've got a new microwave, so I'm going to have to get the manual out to figure that one out. let's see. So we've got daylight savings time. November 10th, we still have time. If you would like to come, we have a special class at 6 o'clock in the evening in the Poway store. Tom Spellman from Dave Wilson Nursery is going to be coming down to do a class on backyard orchard. And he is probably one of the preeminent experts in the field. Super nice guy, very knowledgeable.
Great speaker.
It's going to be a fantastic class. We do ask that you make a reservation. There is no charge for the class, but we do ask that you make a reservation. Just give Poway a call, and we'll put you on the list, just so we have an idea of how many chairs we need to set up for the class. But it's a very well attended class. So,
chairs.
Oh,
more.
Okay. I was going to say I thought we were just standing, but
and if I remember correctly, David Ross will be preparing and serving complimentary former John Albee Franks.
Currently, that is slated. That is going to happen.
All right. That's the best part of the class.
So if you want to RSVP for that, call.
Sorry, Tom.
Tom's great, but, complimentary
it's
hot dogs.
It's the hot dog, yeah.
Whoa.
Former John Albee Franks.
Good point.
Okay.
Again,
you don't have to. Okay. You apologize. Well, you didn't apologize.
No.
Are you going to?
No. Yeah, I will. If you want.
At some point.
I do want you to.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Thank you. I accept. We can move on.
So if you want to give, if you want to RSVP for that, call the store after 9 o'clock today. Number is 858-513-4900. On the 13th in San Diego, we have a bonsai class coming up. It's Bonsai Basics with Richard. I don't know Richard.
Oh, you're talking Richard DeLeo down in Point Loma?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Interesting fellow.
Okay. So that's going to be the 13th at 9 o'clock. And then we have a permaculture class with Steve Atkinson in Poway at 9:30 that day. I don't know Steve either.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, Steve's a new guy for us. We met him via Brigitte from San Diego Seed Company.
Okay.
He does a lot of permaculture things. It should be a good class. He's going to talk about creating a food forest in your backyard.
Since Alia packed up and moved to Costa Rica, we didn't have a food forest presenter, but now we do.
Now we do.
She did do
one or two
presentations on food forests. Very interesting.
Yeah. Had an interesting exchange with a customer yesterday. They came in, and he was returning a bottle of BioAdvance Rosen Flower, the one that you mix with water and pour around the roots of the plant. And he said, I'd like to return this. I said, I just asked him, I said, what was the problem? He said, oh, it killed my rose. Yeah. And I said, well, was it in a container? And he said, no, it was in the ground. And I just said, okay, well, the cashier can take care of that for you. Well, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, that didn't kill your rose.
No, of course not.
He said it had happened twice.
Killed it twice?
Not the same one.
But
curious.
Yeah, in all the years that product has been available, that's the only time I ever heard anybody say that.
And then, hopefully it'll be the only time you do, because there's no way, if you dump the whole bottle on it.
Well, it's like you said, we'd spray it with weed killer and it didn't kill the roses. Didn't do them any good.
Yeah, no.
Right.
And we know from firsthand experience that did happen and it did survive.
Yes,
they did survive.
Right.
Yeah, I guarantee you that happened. So anyway, the only thing that I could have thought of is that maybe if it had been in a container, because it does tell you don't use it on containerized roses.
But if you put a chemical fertilizer and a chemical insecticide on a drought stress rose during a hot period,
could have had some problem with it. Yeah, we caution people all the time when you're going to spray something, always make sure that water it in the morning and then spray it in the afternoon.
Make sure things are well hydrated before you spray.
Don't spray a dry plant. Yeah. It can cause all kinds of problems.
I did get two more gophers this week.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I'm very happy. I am on a roll. I am. And I leave
it's
them out
Joe
for
DiMaggio
the
DiMaggio ought to be worried with a streak.
So you leave them out for the coyotes?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm guessing it's not coyotes or maybe they're preferring the gophers to my persimmons because my persimmons are all intact. So
must be nice.
Yes, I'm guessing
that's right.
That
we had this discussion.
We like
you
the
have
meat
the
meat flavor better than the fruit flavor. I'm okay.
I'm okay with that too. I mean, fruit does have its place in every life.
In everybody's diet.
Yes.
We lost another branch on our persimmon, even though there's a fence of some sort that has at least the short term have kept them out, but now maybe it was a raccoon, but something got up there and just broke another branch, and now we're done with persimmons for this season. Sadly.
Sad. Very, very sad. Mine are just starting to ripen.
Well, I guess
and
we'll be
there's
coming
so
by.
Many on the tree, it's leaning over to the side. I thought maybe some of the branches had broken. I'm turning my back on George so he doesn't hear this. I thought maybe
I'm
some of the
branches. I'm coming over later to get more persimmons.
And then you're going to blame it on the coyotes.
Well, they finally attacked your tree.
Yes. They're all gone.
If you want to give us a call today,
888-344-1170.
Yeah, 888-344-1170 is the number. The glare was shining off of my notes there. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
He'd let us in, knows where we've been, in his octopus's garden in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see an octopus's garden with me. I'd like to be
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Yeah?
I don't know what you have on your piece of paper there, but did you go any place special last Monday? Were you anywhere last Monday afternoon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. Actually on his paper.
It is on there.
Yeah. Okay, then please carry on.
I was just going to let everybody know about the sad news that we have about the seed potatoes.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That we were...
They're still on their way.
Still so anxiously awaiting.
And we wish we could use the story about the harbor in Long Beach being backed up as the reason for them not being.
Sadly, no.
Well, they're coming from Montana.
Yeah.
And usually they don't go via the ocean. But, you know.
But if they go via truck.
You know, I had a customer call on Thursday asking when they were going to be in. And I asked David. And at that point, we still thought they would be here this past week. And he's like, yeah, I should be here by tomorrow. And I felt I told her that. And now we have to back off of that story,
it's the worst
sadly.
You give people.
At least it's not our fault.
No,
yeah, but.
You want to hear
the
worstest part of that? On Tuesday, I overheard a coworker say, they were expected within the next 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, so, and they're not here yet, so it should be within the next 2 weeks. And so after that coworker hung up, I talked
chastised
to her. Well, I didn't chastise her. I just talked to her. I said, well, they're expected this week.
Yeah, because 2 weeks ago, makes sense. And but that coworker
just
was correct.
But that coworker turns out to be correct.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
well, here's the advantage of being a lazy gardener and not harvesting all of the potatoes thoroughly out of our garden.
Are you going to make everybody feel bad who harvested completely now?
Did you actually harvest completely?
I did.
Well, right now we have actually more potatoes growing in our garden than when I planted last year.
That's funny. Yeah.
I believe tons. Mm-hmm. Because we missed so many apparently.
And I have potatoes left over from my harvest. Remember my spider mite?
That's right, yeah.
Potatoes, so I could plant those. And I did find a couple of pieces that they were sitting out in pots, and I didn't water them, so they went dormant. And then after the rains a couple of weeks ago, they started growing again. So I do have potatoes. But our potatoes are en route on a very slow truck from Montana, and the company they are with takes 10 business days to get to San Diego from Montana, which makes
walking?
Absolutely no sense.
Well, they go through Mexico and come back.
A wagon train. There we go.
Well, it's funny because when I've been watching my reruns of Adam 12, they butt up to
Cedarman.
To wagon train. Adam 12 follows wagon train. And that's what I was thinking. Yeah, they're on a wagon train. They could have gotten here more quickly. But anyway, we are now expecting them in Poway on Monday the 15th. And as soon as they are inspected and released by the Ag Department, they will be available in both stores either that day or the next day. So that is the update, the sad update. But now let's follow that up with an exciting...
At least it hasn't been canceled.
No, they're on their way. Or as I said, en route. I just hope they don't encounter any freezing weather up in Oregon because then we're going to have
that's the next
mush
crisis,
potatoes.
Yes.
We shall see.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, they are en route. So, Monday you and George and myself and Melanie all at different times made a visit to the San Diego Botanical Garden. And we got to John Clements, who's called in numerous occasions here to the show, was kind enough to let us in and give us a little bit of a VIP tour of the conservatory where the corpse flower was blooming.
Particularly was Jack Smellington.
That particular one, yeah. And
That's a special named variety of corpse flower.
Jack Smellington.
And I have to admit, it was for a plant nerd thing, that was pretty darn cool.
Pretty cool.
It was pretty cool.
It was it was very unique.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing pictures of that plant as a kid in the issue of Exotica that we have, which is a hoarder, what would you call it? A reference book.
It's the Gray's Anatomy of Horticulture.
Yes.
And I was always fascinated by it. And then you would hear every once in a while one would come into bloom, but they were always somewhere else. I know Brooklyn Botanical Garden has one. Huntington,
San Francisco has one.
Huntington has one. San Francisco has one. But when they could,
yeah,
you actually have to live where the thing is,
yeah,
because you can't time anything. You can't time a trip to go see it. Because once the flower opens, it's
48 hours later. It's
48
done.
Hours later, it's done. Right. So,
however, had people been listening to Garden Talk on KPRZ and KCBQ last week, I think they were told on Saturday morning between 6 and 7 a.m. when it was going to bloom.
They did. We were told that, absolutely.
And was it Monday or Tuesday?
And it bloomed on Halloween.
It bloomed Sunday night. It bloomed Sunday night.
As they were told,
as John
here.
Predicted. Yeah. Right?
No.
Oh, you predicted?
Yes. He said Monday or Tuesday because the sheaths hadn't fallen off yet. And I said it's going to bloom on Halloween night. And just in case anybody missed that, I'm repeating it here to make sure everybody hears it.
Those plants are 14 years old, those siblings, the one that was behind it as well. 14 years, and the last time they bloomed was in 2018, or that one bloomed was 2018.
Which is a fairly short cycle for them, because it's usually 4 to 7 years for them to rebloom. The good news is if you miss the first one, the second one's going to be blooming in probably another it was 3 weeks on. John thought it was going to be 3 weeks on Monday. So,
no, don't ask me what day.
I don't.
I'm not going to opine on this.
Do you know the name of the second plant?
No, what is it?
Does anyone?
I can't remember.
Stinking Beauty.
Oh, that's right.
Stinking Beauty.
So, one of the good things about going to see the plant on Monday rather than Sunday night was that the odor was not nearly as powerful as John had said it was.
The night before.
Yeah, it wasn't overpowering, and it wasn't actually as foul as I was expecting.
No, but apparently it was on right. Sunday night. John said that the odor changed as the evening wore on,
did the temperature. They used a laser temperature gauge, and the plant got, I think he said, up to 97 degrees.
Yeah, it started at 70 something at the bottom.
Right, as he went up.
And as it progressed in the evening, it got warmer and warmer up to 96 at the top. And then I guess it would burst out with heat and smell.
The smell would change as the temperature would change. And John's description of it was pretty disgusting. It was pretty bad.
And Ken, you said, if you're a plant nerd, it's something to see. There were lines of people.
Oh. You
waiting to get in.
You have to get when that plant is in bloom. You have to have a reservation to get in, and they sold out on Monday. And we were there. We were probably in the conservatory for a half hour, 45 minutes, talking to John, and it was a constant
flow
of people. And it went pretty quickly. I mean,
people were very kind, and they were caught. They were well aware of people behind them, so they glanced at it, take a picture, and then move on.
Yeah,
right.
But it was.
And if you want to see what it looks like as it unfurled, we actually, you can go to their website, but we have a link to it on Facebook page, both for the nursery and for the Garden Talk Facebook page.
Yeah.
It shows a time lapse of it.
A time lapse. Yeah. Night video of it happening.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. And then what you couldn't see when we were there was on the backside of the flower, they actually cut a hole through the spathe, and they had pollen from Huntington that they hand pollinate. They tried to hand pollinate the flower, and then they were going to collect pollen from their plant
and move it up to
Huntington, and then they're going to try to cross pollinate the second flower when it blooms as well. So they may be able to get some seed off of it.
What did he tell us? There was less than 100. There's less than 1,000.
Less than 100. Less than 100
wild?
In the United. Well, okay. No, it was less than 100 in the United States.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how many are in the wild.
It is. I'm glad I went to see it. I wasn't going to make time, and I'm glad I went to see it because it is neat to just
yeah, you can say that.
Yes. Yeah. And now I know what to look forward to when ours blooms in Poway. Hopefully, and you guys have a new plant.
If we don't croak it first.
Yeah. Yes. You have a new plant in Point Loma. Oh, I procured two more. So.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah. So keep an eye on the San Diego Botanical Gardens website for the second flower to bloom. And when it gets ready to go, I would if you have any kind of interest in that at all, I would highly recommend making a reservation and going and checking it out because it's pretty neat. I was very impressed.
And if you miss that, sometime in the next 2 to 5 years, if we do not kill it in the interim, hopefully one will be blooming at Walter Anderson Nursery in Poway.
And we'll have lines out the door, people coming around.
Well, you had gone to the garden earlier in the morning. We went in the afternoon, and George happened to come up at the same time that we were there. So after we went and spent some time in the conservatory looking at the corpus flower and talking to John, we went out and did a quick walk through the garden.
Main gardens.
Yeah. Went over to the subtropical fruit tree section, which is pretty cool. They've got some neat stuff over there. They had a jujube that was loaded with fruit.
It was massive. It was a big tree.
Huge.
Did you bring me any?
Well, there was a sign that said that, you know, you weren't supposed
to pick the fruit. Don't pick the fruit.
Well, I'm sure that didn't apply to you guys.
Well, it didn't apply to Melanie. I know that.
Sorry, John.
Sorry, Melanie. and sorry, soon to be Kenny. Sorry, Ken.
Exactly. Yes. She's not listening right now, is she?
No. I hope not.
No, the podcast. Yeah, she'll be listening
She'll catch it later.
In perpetuity. Yeah.
No, she did taste one jujube, but there was, 1,000 jujubes
on
that? It was loaded.
It was covered, and it was the largest one I've seen.
How big was the fruit?
Well, the fruit was a standard actually a little bit smaller than what we've seen on ours. Yeah. I think it's because there were so many.
Well, I wonder, because I have one at home, and they're grafted. The rootstock has very small fruit on it, and the main tree has a larger fruit, which actually was riper earlier. So I wonder if that was rootstock or if it was the desired jujube.
Yeah, I don't know.
Again, sorry, John. We didn't mean to call that out on the radio. And Ken, for a slight fee, I'll not say anything about the podcast to Melanie.
Yes. And how she can listen to it.
Yeah. Yes.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. See, I got it that time.
Well done. Yeah. You did it, and you did it exceptionally well.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
I have a tough time singing along with some of Herb Albert's music. It's hard to sing to.
Well, especially since it doesn't have lyrics.
I know. That's, yes. Okay,
well, David likes to make up his own lyrics. So.
Yeah, that usually doesn't work out so well.
Yeah.
Let's see. What are we talking about? If you're a fan of redwood planters, I would take a look at purchasing while you can, because our long time supplier, as long as I've been in the business, right. JJ Roberts Redwood up in LA are closing down.
Yeah, that's...
they're done, and they by far made the nicest redwood planters that were on the market.
Correct.
And
are they a victim of COVID times, supply chain?
I think just tired.
Tired. Yeah, I think it's
just tired. Yeah. And they didn't want to sell because they didn't think that they could find somebody that would put the quality into the product that they
with their name.
With their name on it. Correct. And they do make the best looking redwood that I've ever seen. It's beautiful work.
How long have we been doing business with them? They've been the preeminent supplier the entire my 32 years.
As far back as I can remember. So that's at least that's at least 40 years. At least. So I honestly don't know.
I talked to the gentleman we get the redwood benches from to see if he had any ability He was going to look into it. And he said, no, he can't get the wood. He's having trouble getting wood to make the products. So just his bench sets.
Yeah.
And he's still having trouble with that. I'm going to give him the cedar supplier up in Montana to see if they can work something out.
They can work something out there.
Because the cedar planters that we have, that we're dabbling with.
That we're trying to get in.
Right. Are nice.
They're quality.
Yeah.
They're definitely solid.
Yeah. It's good looking stuff. So if you need trellises or you need planter boxes, window boxes, things like that, I would come in and get them as soon as you can, because I don't know how much. We have not been able to source a new supplier yet.
And since he's shutting down, he's pretty much almost done with production now.
Correct.
Everybody wants extra, and there's not extra to be gotten. Yeah. So if you have some on your patio now or thinking about replacing one or something to make sure they still match,
do it. Yeah.
The window is closing very quickly.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I think he wants to be done by the end of the year. So that's less than 2 months.
And I think he's done with the property at the end of the year, I think is what Correct. He said. He's got to be out by the 31st of December.
Something like that, yeah.
The challenge for anybody right now is going to be, you know, sourcing lumber at a cost, a reasonable cost that they can, you know, pass on to the consumer, because wood is so expensive right now.
Well, everything's getting expensive. I mean, the inventory department at both stores issues price changes on an almost daily basis during the week as stuff comes in. And we're seeing prices go up across the board on about everything.
Yeah.
And it's big jumps.
I
saw one for
soils.
I think it was 5 gallon Redbird azaleas went from $26.99 to $39.99 in one jump. It's just incredible what's going on.
All of the ingredients, labor,
and
all of the things that would go with running a business, transport, fuel. The fuel surcharges are increasing on a weekly basis from the carriers, and that's going to get passed on. And
Ken, you mentioned something about fertilizers, and the source material for fertilizers has gone up considerably.
Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, that's going up. The shortage of natural gas, which is another component in fertilizer production, is going to be a problem. One of our suppliers sent us a note as to what's going on, and they said that last January, shipping a container from China was $5,000. It's $32,500 and climbing. So that's if you can get the container over here and get it off of the ship.
If they're not sitting in a harbor somewhere, right?
Park it in Long Beach.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's getting crazy. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go to the phones and talk to Phil. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
We're good.
Good.
Last 2 weeks, you've talked about pomegranates a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And my pomegranate tree, 3 years ago, it was delivering 5 to 6 inch diameter giant beautiful pomegranates. We trimmed it, I'll say severely, because it was the bush kind, not like a single trunk, but like a bush. And it was all over the place and just too big. So we trimmed it way back. This year, it is perfectly beautiful green. All the leaves are on all the branches. But we've had one pomegranate about 3 inches in diameter on the whole tree. Is it a cyclical thing that if you hack it back, the fruit will come back, or have I killed the tree? The tree looks great. Just no fruit.
It's just going to take it 2 or 3 years to develop the fruiting wood again. You cut off the majority of the fruiting wood, and
it'll be fine. I mean,
yeah, well, the only question I would have is, did it flower? I didn't catch that part. Did it flower a lot this past year?
No.
Yeah. So no. Yeah, exactly what David just said then.
But it's going to be fine. Unfortunately, it's time, but yes.
Yeah, we aren't leaving anytime soon, but I just wondered if it was, you know, we have to replace it now.
No.
Okay. Yeah, and all your other info on pomegranates was good the last 2 weeks. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
I
have a seedling pomegranate at home that I harvested the first ripe-looking fruit on, and I left it on the tree as long as possible because I wanted it to be the best it could be.
Right.
And then I let it sit on my counter for 2 weeks because I kept forgetting to eat it. And then I finally opened it up, and every arrow on the inside was totally moldy and rotten.
Oh, God.
And I don't know if some varieties have a propensity to do that. And I don't know if this is going to be that. So I only got 3 fruit off of it this year. These are my first fruits. And so I picked the next one and brought it into work prematurely. So it wasn't quite ripe, so it wasn't that good. But none of the arrows were rotten. So
it's an interesting pomegranate. The seed is much, I think, more on the hard side than some of the others.
Firmer.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to go with that's a good thing, because even though some people spit out the seeds, those are good to go through your system.
Correct.
It's very good for your digestive system.
Big on fiber.
Yes, sir.
So the good thing is we can thin a few of the branches but leave them to keep growing.
Exactly.
Even though the plant's large. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you get the opportunity and can come up to Poway next Wednesday night, Tom Spellman does a great job on the different fruiting characteristics of different trees, whether they fruit on 1-year wood, 2-year wood, things of that sort. It'll help you make informed decisions on pruning.
Great.
All righty, sir. Well, thank you very much for the call, and just be patient now.
Yes.
Okay. Got a lot of patience.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent.
Thanks for the call, Phil. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye.
Take care.
It's funny and it's sad that happened, but it's really not a big deal.
In the long run, he's going to be better off.
He will be better off. But it is
rejuvenating the fruiting wood.
Right? It's sad.
It's like, oh, you know.
And that is why it is so important to know. Yeah. Before people do their annual prunings, this wasn't an annual pruning. This was a shaving changing
sometimes
of the tree.
Sometimes it's necessary, but yeah.
But some people go out and they prune their fruit trees without knowing where the fruiting wood comes from.
Correct. Right, and whether it's going to fruit on the wood that you cut this year or not.
A lot of trees produce fruit on these little short spurs off the branches. And
they think it's...
A lot of people who trim just go out and cut off all those tiny little spurs because we don't need these little branchlets. What?
Right.
My neighbor was complaining to me that he didn't get enough pears off of his tree, and I went over and asked him about the trimming. Well, he always cuts off all the little branches.
The little spurs.
The little spurs, the ones that produce the fruit. Which is where that book, what's that book called?
How to Prune Fruit Trees and Roses?
Yes, that's the
book. Excellent book. Yeah.
And it comes in handy because knowing where the fruit's going to come from will help you to preserve and prune to increase and preserve.
Increase and production.
If you can't make it to Tom's class on the 10th, the section on Backyard Orchards that is in the current version of the How to Prune Fruit Trees and Roses book was written by Tom, and it is included in that book. So
at no additional charge.
So you can pick up a copy of that in either store. You can also pick it up online at walteranderson.com. What else we got going on? Garlic is in season right now, and we've got a lot of garlic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just grin. I'm not trying to change your direction or anything. Sometimes
that's just his look. You're just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah. We may put you over in Brandon's room. I'm not sure.
So, what did he do to deserve that?
Exactly. Yeah. But we have a lot of bare root garlic in stock right now. A lot of different varieties. Some I've never heard. I mean, you go to the store, it's garlic.
Correct.
I mean, they don't get into the different... The different
the
varieties
looks or flavors, or
well, nice. Maybe elephant garlic.
Yeah,
you might see, but we've got all kinds of them. There's red garlic and Isn't there a purple one too?
Yeah, pink.
Yeah.
And people ask me what the differences are.
And that's the problem. I don't know.
No idea on the garlics. Does anybody here know
I know the
differences subtleties?
Between the hard necks and the soft necks, but other than that, I know it's a red one versus a purple or a white.
Right.
It's garlic.
It's garlic.
Well, the long neck and soft neck, that's kind of like the hard neck. That's kind of like the long day and short day onion.
In some ways, yeah. There is one other thing. The hard neck varieties will give you the garlic scapes, those little extra twirly things that come out of the stalk that you can cook with. If you've ever let them,
I don't think I've ever
grown garlic and let it come.
Not with the curly things on it. No.
The plant will grow, and off the stem you get these extra like when an onion goes to seed and you get that fine little head at the top that before it opens up into the ball, it looks like it's going to do that, and then you get this what's called a scape, and it's like a pig's tail.
I was going to show my brilliance by saying kind of like a pig's tail? Question mark.
Exactly. Similar to that. But the hard neck does that. The soft neck does not do that. Oh. And you can cook with them. They're very popular in pestos and things of that sort.
Somebody asked me, because I was told that hardneck garlics prefer a colder winter. Is that correct?
And that's where Ken was going, with the the long day, short day. Yeah, they do better in cooler weather.
A customer asked me if they could put it into a refrigerator, like a bulb. But we will discuss that.
We'll talk about it when we get back. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be talking about garlic when we come back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way.
And I look across its smiling lips that warm my...
Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
God did make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime.
And we're back.
There's no such thing as
with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We were talking about garlic, and I can't remember what we were talking about garlic when we went. David wanted to put it in the freezer or something.
Not the freezer. Everybody knows not the freezer.
You were speculating on whether the hardneck, which does better in cooler climates, northern climates, would do better if you put it in the refrigerator first.
Yeah,
maybe it's going to grow in the refrigerator.
I was reading about it wanting a blanket of snow over it, or getting that before it grows. And why couldn't we just do that like we do with the tulips and the hyacinths and put it in the fridge for 6 weeks and then plant it?
Fair question. I think you should try
It makes sense to me.
So the one negative, though, to hardneck is it does not keep as long. So if you're going to grow garlic that you want to keep in store, you're better off doing the soft neck.
With a soft neck, right.
It lasts longer.
What are the benefits of the hard neck then? I thought it was better for braiding or something.
It is. I think it's better for braiding, and it also is.
If you like to,
but if it doesn't last that long,
that doesn't make sense.
Right. I mean, but it does. They form, and also the hard neck is fewer cloves that are typically a little bit larger than the soft neck. Oh. Soft neck has smaller cloves.
For home growers, several extension sites recommend refrigerating cloves for 2 to 6 weeks before planting.
So are you going to do it?
Genius.
Well, actually, it was a customer, but it made perfect sense.
What he's going to do is he's going to bring them home and leave them on the counter, intending to put them in the refrigerator, and they'll just rot on the counter.
Oh no, I'll put them in the fridge.
He'll put them in the fridge, and they'll just stay there.
I'll rot them in the fridge. No,
rot them in the bottom of the refrigerator.
I'm going to rot them in the fridge.
And so what we're going to do in the spring, Ken, is we'll be sitting here and we'll say, "So how did that garlic experiment go?"
And my eyes will get wide. Oh, it's growing nice mold in the fridge. Yeah. But that's the beauty of the fridge. It stores it so that I can plant them at any time
at
after
any
winter.
At any time you wish.
Because are you talking about the mold spores or the garlic?
I did a test with some Brussels sprouts that have been in my fridge from Costco for months, and they have not decayed. I'm giving them to my chickens. I'm not going to eat them at this point.
I was going to say, like gain of function.
I don't know if you've ever left cauliflower in the fridge too long. It's chicken food now, but they didn't look bad. That was the moral of my story.
So was this purposeful?
It was just mañana, okay. Mañana. I'll prepare them tomorrow. And now it's just been too long, and I can't in good conscience prepare them.
Have you guys ever had black garlic before?
I have not heard of black garlic.
No, I've not heard of it.
It's a fancy way of just decaying your garlic, basically, and it's supposed to add a new flavor, but I personally think it's too strong of a taste.
Even imagine what the flavor would be.
So when you rot your garlic, you can still eat it.
I wonder if that's
what they're saying, yeah.
Like dry aging beef.
Interesting.
It's the exact same process, what they're saying, yeah.
Oh, interesting. I had not heard of that.
Da-da-da-da.
Is that two things you've been correct on today, or three?
I'm not bad.
He doesn't like to keep track.
You know what? Yesterday, I'm not sure why. It had something to do with something good that had happened this week. I bought a Super Lotto ticket.
Did you select the numbers?
No.
Well, I hope you bought it in your neighborhood.
I got it in Poway, so not exactly.
Let's see. What else have we got to talk about? Oh, Christmas trees.
Let's go back to the storage and the cost.
Exactly.
And transportation, et cetera, et cetera.
But also drought.
And a dry Pacific Northwest.
Dry Pacific Northwest. Some of the trees.
During the summer,
some of the trees got scorched. I don't think we're getting any.
They call them flocking trees.
Yeah,
it's the ones you hide.
Yes. Yeah, so that you can cover up the damage with flock. But you didn't order any of those, did you?
No.
Yeah. So our trees should be in good shape when they come in this year. But that might cause a little bit of shortage, and shipping may be an issue.
Shipping is always an issue.
So we will see, but we're expecting them the week of Thanksgiving, I believe, are we not?
Yes, correct. The Monday or Tuesday before Thanksgiving is when the first truck will arrive.
Yep. And they're not coming from the same folks who ship the potatoes, so we're okay.
Yes, these are on people that hopefully...
They want to get them here.
I'm thinking of so many different things that happen to cause trucking shortages in California, but we don't need to expand upon that right now.
And poinsettias are due that week too, aren't they?
Oh, yes. We've already gotten a smattering of the fall colors.
Yeah.
Yellow ones are in, and some pretty speckly ones are in. And it's almost like that it is November already.
Holidays are here. I like the red poinsettias.
I just like
the reds.
Yeah. Although I have to admit, when they used to have the grower trials at Ecky,
yeah.
They had some pretty spectacular stuff up there,
I don't dispute. Some of them are unique and they're attractive, and there's some, but they just
it's not Christmas or
Thanksgiving with them.
But a yellow or a orangey, peachy colored Thanksgiving or fall poinsettia, I think, is totally appropriate. I don't consider them Christmas poinsettias,
right?
But I think they look very nice, and I agree with the traditional red, but I think they're very nice early in the season.
I think they're nice plants. They're unique. They've got some characteristics, some drama to them, but they just don't say holidays to me.
Like some people have like drama to them. And
a lot of people have drama to them.
Yes.
Present company included.
Hey now.
Oh, one thing I forgot to mention about the botanical garden as we were walking around. They have a huge agathis. I'm not sure if it's australis, but the cowrie tree ours isn't anywhere near as big as the one that they have, but it's a spectacular tree.
No, what's the tree?
Agathis. I think it's Agathis australis,
and it's a very narrow upright tree, correct?
Very narrow upright tree. It gets a huge trunk on it as they mature. As a matter of fact, there's one down in New Zealand that has the largest trunk by volume of any tree
larger
the world.
Than our giant sequoias.
Yeah, it's massive. It's not as tall as sequoias, but
the girth.
The trunk, the girth is just enormous. They're beautiful trees. They're conifer. They're a wide leaf conifer.
Well, you know, talking about
plant, it doesn't have a common name that I know.
Plant geeks and plant cowrie. Nerds.
Cowrie. Cowrie pine.
Yeah, but that's cowrie. That's almost a. Yeah, yes, it is in Australia, right?
Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah.
That just gave me goosebumps thinking about how large the General Sherman tree and how many gray whales or blue whales they say you could fit in the trunk of the giant sequoias, and that's bigger.
Yeah, it is. I've seen it. It's you walk down this little trail to get to it. It's in a botanical garden or a reserve, and my dad and I were walking along, and I was like, well, this thing can't be that big, and you come around the corner, and it's like, oh my God.
It's that big.
Yeah, it's pretty stunning. So, but anyway, if you want to see a small version of that, they have a beautiful one up at the botanical garden. Then we have the one in Poway,
an up and comer.
And there's one by the statue of El Cid in Balboa Park as well. So, you've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back next Saturday morning at 6 o'clock with another hour. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.